Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Nigel Farage says the resignation of NatWest boss Dame Alison Rose is a start, but believes the whole board needs to go. Dame Alison resigned from her position after admitting to being the source of an inaccurate story about Mr. Farage's finances. British holidaymakers returning from Rhodes have told of their terrifying and traumatic experiences on the Greek island as it continues to be ravaged by wildfires. Claire Gorick and her family returned to Gatwick. She's been telling us what it was like for them.
There was smoke everywhere, ash everywhere. Then we heard sirens and police shouting for us to get out. And you could just see the fire coming towards us.
And Tottenham owner Joe Lewis has been indicted in New York for orchestrating a brazen insider trading scheme, according to a US attorney. Damian Williams, the US attorney for the Southern District of New York, alleges that Lewis provided inside information to romantic partners, personal assistants, private pilots and friends, helping them make millions of dollars. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Will Carl.
From the case files of Miss Maureen 118212.
It was a dark and stormy night. Or perhaps it was a stormy and dark night. Either way, it wasn't very nice. I was in the study when suddenly the phone rang. It was a gentleman from Porlock, and he needed a phone number pronto and straight away. I leapt into action and found the number immediately. Well, they don't call me Maureen 118212 Directory Inquiries for nothing, you know.
Maureen!
118212.
Calls cost $2.50 per call plus 75p a minute with a minimum 1 minute charge plus your phone company's access charge.
Coming up, the Business Mix Show.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
It's Vito, baby. Shawty wanna do me, yeah. Told me set the camera up, she wanna make a movie. Oh, I can tell it's juicy, yeah. Know I'm on that liquor when I'm feeling on a body, yeah. Oh, no, I wanna show you some things for your eyes only.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I noticed your song when it came on, it brought out the freak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Better play nice. Bottle popping to the daylight. I put you on if it feels right. Let's keep it going till it's no mind. Yeah. Do you mind if I come through? Mind if I touch you? Mind if I mess up your front too? Pour it up, roll it up, we can smoke too.
Do you mind?
Put it in my face.
Do you mind?
Make you tap out, don't play.
Do you mind?
Best side, you know it's only good vibes. Do you mind?
Do you mind, girl? Do you mind? Will you let me do you right? Can I have a night? Don't make me ask you twice. I like what I like. I'm not the type that's gonna be stalking you. Oh, I know I'm a player, but I wait up too much hot and then I follow through.
Hey,
you sound good.
I wanna give my heart to you. Put that ass in park, Santa Carta.
I show up.
Then I talk to it. Hit it, now you walk different.
Walk
do you
different.
Mind if I come through?
Mind
if I touch you?
Mind
if I mess up your front too?
If I do,
pull it up, roll it up, we can smoke too.
Do you mind?
Put it in my face.
Do you mind?
Make you tap out, don't play.
Do you mind?
Over on the west side, the best side, you know it's only good vibes. Do you mind? Remix, J.E. y'all, Run DMC, to the beach y'all, and me, y'all know my name, come on.
See, first of all, yeah. I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this,
what?
But I'ma be real and say what's on my heart,
yeah.
Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the start, yeah.
What I think about
all the years we put in this relationship.
Yeah.
Who knew we'd make it this far? Then I think about what would I
the range and your last name about to change. Yeah. Now you're Miss Simmons, got a better living. What a difference Red Bud made. Used to be the snake type, hanging out late night. Girl, you done made me change my life. Yeah. Ever since you met me, keys to the Bentley. Now they call you the preacher's wife. I'm the type of guy that take you out and buy that ring with the rock that'll break your arm. Yeah. Players won't try that, now you can't deny that. Triple dub rap to the bud.com.
Business Mix Show.
My lips to the lover, lover, lover.
I like lipstick on my neck. You let me know I'm your number one select. I like lipstick on my neck. Hands around my waist so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. On my neck, leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I like lipstick on my neck, baby. I'm obsessed. Give me undressed. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little time. We don't have a long time. Ooh, you're talking nasty and I like it. Whisper in my ear, only me you can hear. I seen it from the back and I'm excited.
Ah, my way. If you wanna roll with me, no play. You gotta listen to the things I say. Say you want to be my lover. It be me where I make you to go gaga. A boy and iron, so what's on the back? You won't give me range and so nada. Say you want to be my lover. Me where I make you to go gaga.
Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's Wednesday and it's us here on the Business Mix.
We are back on the Business Mix on the airways and also celebrating the fact that we are digital now.
Yes.
Like, in a whole digital age, if you've missed us, we're the Business Mix Show. We're the Business Mix team. We bring you the best in all things business every single Wednesday. But you can also catch us at any time on Catch Up, on the Colourful iPlayer, and on your digital downloads.
Yes, it's been a while since we brought you a new show, so we're really excited. We've got Hassel, a wonderful guest on this morning. And yes, we hope you enjoy. Continue following us and make sure you follow us on our social as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Who have we got this morning?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Who have we got this morning? Okay. So we're kind of following the theme from some of our last shows. So we had Trover's Ore with Murray the Milkman. We had Danielle Blechner from Conscious Dreams Publishing. So we're kind of following a theme, but our theme is slightly different as we come into our new show in September. So we're still talking about authors, we're still talking about writing, we're still talking about publishing, but we've got a young author with us this morning. We also have I don't want to say old because that's really rude, a mature co-author, I think I'd say. So we've got a great mother and daughter who are coming on today to talk about a book that they've co-written together. So I'm really excited to hear more about that. Oh, we haven't even got a hot topic. I was about to say, before we do that, we have a hot topic.
We've got a hot
topic. But we have to change the format slightly. It will be back. Yeah, so just let everybody know.
And I guess any hot topic has been surrounded by COVID, our enemy of progression, COVID.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next time. Next time.
So, let's go back into our guest today. So, we have Kiona and her mother, Uju, who are going to be telling us about how it was co-writing a book together around heritage, increasing cultural awareness and diversity. So
good morning.
Good morning, Kiona. Good morning, Uju. Hello.
Good morning. You. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us about Uncle... Googie's wedding. Go on, tell us all about the book, please.
Right. Uncle Googie's Wedding is a children's book that my daughter and I collaborated on. I wrote the book and she did the illustrations, plus served as the muse for the heroine of our book. And this book tells the story of a young girl, London-based, traveling to Nigeria to attend her uncle's wedding. And it takes you on the journey of her going back home to her homeland and discovering a lot more about her culture, heritage, language, and Nigeria itself. And of course, it's the backdrop is a wedding, so you get to see a Nigerian wedding from a child's perspective.
And we all love a Nigerian wedding.
Yeah.
Bella Nigeria. Yeah, exactly. We all love a Nigerian wedding.
Wow. So tell us, what was the, I guess, the inspiration behind the book and what made you decide, actually, yeah, we need to capture that and put it down on paper for others to get to know about as well?
Okay. The inspiration was... wanted to add my two cents, I guess, to the discussion and the dialogue around diversity and the beauty of it, to add my two cents to the dialogue on culture, the importance of culture, cultural heritage, and language, particularly for African children in the diaspora. It seems like for a lot of us who are based in the US or the UK or in Europe, there's not as much emphasis being put on learning about our culture and speaking our language. And I think it's such a beautiful thing to have a second language and to find out more about one's culture because it's part of one's identity. Plus it's lovely as a child learning about other people's cultures anyway. So that was the inspiration to do something to share mine, because I love mine. I'm Nigerian, I'm Igbo. I do love mine. I wanted to share it with other people and encourage others, both parents and children, to explore and be happy to explore about other people's cultures too.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you actually said, told us that you were Igbo, because I was thinking in my head, okay, so... I wonder, you know, you say, you know, we talk a lot about Africa and African language and African culture, and we have to remember that Africa is not one country. It's so diverse. It's a continent. There's so many different languages, as you say, cultures, foods, traditions, tribes. So that's something that I always try to pinpoint, especially with my children anyway, when they talk about Africa. I'm like, okay, but where in Africa? Yeah. You know, who in Africa are we talking about? So yeah, that's really important as well. And you know, it's great to obviously educating those outside of our own cultures about the beauty and the diversity and the various the beauty, the vast beauty that we have as Africans. Even those, you know, who I would say, you know, yes, I'm African via the Caribbean. I didn't ask to be my ancestors weren't asked to be taken there, but I can still claim my homeland, as it were. So it's great that we can share that traditions, and also to see, I think, a lot of similarities that yes. you might not have known about before. And you're like, oh, we do something very similar exactly. like that. We call that something very similar. So that's exactly. always nice to kind of find something else, find something new about that as well. So tell us then, how did you first get into writing? And Kiona, how did you get into illustrating? I mean, was it something that you'd always done, or something you'd had a flair for, or something one day you just thought, I'm going to try that and see what happens?
Okay, I'll start. I've always loved to write. When I was a lot younger, I would spend hours and hours writing short stories, songs. My writing was my safe space. I always found that I could express myself better through written word. It's just something right. that comes to me naturally. Yeah. But growing up, I'm going to grow up and be a writer, said no Nigerian child ever. you're going to be a doctor, you know, a lawyer. Something to do with science or accountant or something. You don't go on saying you want to be a writer. So you just kind of, okay, it's a hobby. You just kind of put it aside and you get on with life, you build a career and you keep moving. But the writing bug never left me. And about 5 years ago, it just kept coming back and I decided to start a blog. So I started a blog. My blog is called African Finest Mums. And in this blog, I'm writing about experiences that we would go through as, you know, African moms in general all over the world. I wanted a space where I could discuss things that I think are quite unique or specific to our kind of community and be understood. So for instance, as much as I love places like Mum's Net and stuff, I can't really go and say something about jollof rice and people understand what I'm talking about. So I wanted something that would share. There's certain things that are quite unique. So I wanted a space to be able to explore and to discuss matters, you know, in that vein. So I started the blog. Then years after doing that, the idea of, like I said, trying to add to the dialogue of promoting and celebrating culture just wouldn't leave me alone. And I decided, you know, I have to do something about this and let me start writing. And about that time, it was so important for me to find a way to show and share my culture with my children and also do it in a way that they could really resonate with. Then coupled with, I noticed that my daughter was really good at drawing and art, and it was something that she enjoyed. So I thought, why not, you know, instead of looking for someone else, if I do a children's book to illustrate it for me, what better way than for her to illustrate it? Plus, it would give us time to, you know, hang out. And I like hanging out with her, you know, most of the time. So it gives us something to do together. So I asked her, I want to do this book and this wedding's coming up, we can use as a backdrop, would you do the drawing? And yeah, she eventually agreed. So Kian, do you want to talk about you and your drawing and how you started off?
How do you find working with mum?
Me at first was a bit fun, you know, to draw, and cause that was kind of the thing I liked, right? So it was kind of fun at first. I mean, there was one point, right, when she was a bit annoying, okay, keep hassling me about the pictures and doing them, right? Other thing, but overall it was really fun, you know,
That's the thing about real life. You'll learn. You've got these deadlines. Come on, we've got to get it done. We've got to get it out. And I can be a little bit. I like deadlines. Deadlines give me motivation. So I'm the kind of person. I don't know if you're like this as well, Kiana. Like, oh, 3 days to go. I'm like, oh yeah, that's coming up. Okay. 2 days to go. And then I get going. Deadlines are good. They keep us moving. They keep us motivated. So have you always been into drawing and illustrations? Like, is that something that you like doing? You've got just natural flair for that?
Yeah, when I was younger, I was kind of like born the artist, right? So I would draw literally all the time. But there was a point when my art kind of slowed down. It wasn't as important to me anymore because I had other things like school and exams and stuff like that. So I kind of stopped that. But that was until our mum asked me to do the drawings of her book because she said I was good. I mean, obviously, as she said, I kind of hesitated for a while until I accepted. And it was, as I said, it was fun.
So what year are you in at the moment at school?
9.
Okay, so in year 9. Okay, so you just started year 9 September, going back. Okay, so you've got kind of the whole thinking about options and what are you going to choose next year coming up. Okay, do you think art would be one? Do you think you'd choose art?
I mean, yeah, but I mean... the arts for like GCSEs, I mean, it's mostly written work. You barely actually draw. So I've been kind of hesitating about doing that. But I might actually do art and as well as other subjects as well.
How did you get inspiration for your drawings, Hannah? How did you decide this is what I want them to look like? How did you find the process of identifying those?
I mean, doing the pictures kind of gave me a sense of like, helped me discover like my way of drawing, how I do stuff. And my mum will just give me certain pictures from the wedding, like important ones. Like for example, when the bride was in her dress, she gave me that picture and I instantly drew it. I mean, I obviously have, I'm very hard of myself when it comes to my art. So if it's not pitch perfect, then I'm sorry, I'm not expecting that as my own. But eventually I got it to be where I wanted it to be. It looked really good for the book. It fitted really well with it. And yeah, that's how the drawings came.
So you weren't kind of like sitting at the wedding, like with your sketchbook out? It wasn't like that, right? No. Oh, okay. No. All right. Just checking. Oh, dear. Okay. So is there about to be a part 2 or another kind of like installment or a different story? Is it going to christening next? I mean, what's the plan?
The plan, we do plan a part 2 or follow on. And we hint at it in the last chapter. So in the last chapter, it ends with Casey and JC traveling to the village. So we think that might be the next point to see what life is like in Nigeria. So the story is based in Lagos, which is, you know, city and it's very suburban and stuff. So we wanted to take it back and learn a bit more about culture from a village perspective and see their journey traveling in Nigeria and other things that might happen while they're there. So that's the next one planned, and hopefully spring next year started to do the outline and think about the pictures and with everything we've learned from this first one. We'll carry on working on it, hopefully to deliver it next year.
Wonderful. Okay, so tell us about, you know, we've got the storyline, we've got the drawings. Tell us about the process about, you know, getting it published. What did you have to do? Did you self-publish? Did you have to go to publishing houses? What did you do?
I went the self-publishing route. First of all, I had to work on myself to decide, you know what, I'm going to do this thing. And I had to kind of get out of my own way because it's easy to say, oh, there's so many books out there, so many authors, so many established ones. What can I from nowhere kind of add to the conversation? And I had to reconcile with myself that my voice, however small, still counts. And it's worth it being out there, and somebody will be interested in what I have to say as well. And I like what I have to say, so I'm going to get it out there. So I had to kind of deal with that within myself first. Then I went the self-publishing route because I had very specific ideas about what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say it. And I didn't think from what I researched that if I went the publishing route, I would be allowed to express myself in the way I wanted to. I wanted to control certain aspects of it, so I went the self-publishing route.
Okay.
Now, and what is hard?
Yeah. What kind of challenges did you find going that way?
Just research, trying to find out exactly how to go about it. I spoke to some people who I knew had published books. At both self-published and as, you know, the published route, and found out from them what they went through, some of the process that I could understand. And then I did the work to start to find out about the platforms. I went down the Amazon route, the platforms, what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it, and then just kept going to keep pushing myself, because it's easy as you start the process to get discouraged along the way. But I just kept pushing myself that no, still got to do this. It doesn't matter if it's one person or five people or 100 or a million people. I believe in what I'm doing. I'm going to push forward, persevere, and go for it. Found out how to publish the book, self-publish on Amazon, the platforms, understanding how to actually do it is a process. It's not as straightforward, the whole process of getting the ISBN number, so I was doing a lot of it's not just I want to do a book, publish it and go. There's a lot involved, so I had to really research and find out how the process works, and just went through it step by step and called on people who had done it to give me some tips and get some ideas from them to be able to finish doing it.
So what I guess the what, because I think there's lots of people out there who've got ideas for books, for writing, and like yourself, they probably wouldn't know, you know, oh gosh, what do I do? It sounds really daunting. I mean, do you have any kind of like top tips for someone who might have a book ready, just sitting there, they've written it, it's waiting to go, but they're perhaps at that hurdle where perhaps you were. Are there any tips for them to kind of get started and get to the next kind of the next stage?
If in your gut you know that if you don't do this, you wouldn't be happy with yourself, do it, even if you do it afraid. Just push yourself and do it. At the end of the day, it will be worth it. And another thing I would say is ask questions. Seriously, ask questions. Perfect your skill as much as you can. If it means doing, you know, some courses, if you're not sure, do some courses, be it on editing, proofreading, writing, whatever. Perfect your gift as much as you can, so by the time you deliver it, you know that you've delivered the best possible product that you can deliver. If you're confident in that, that really helps to motivate you to keep going. And then also I would say, try and just know that writing the book is one thing, publishing it, selling it is a completely different thing. So prepare yourself.
Of course. What kind of things have you done? Kind of what strategy have you had for selling and marketing and actually pushing it out there?
I engaged a PR consultancy to help me because I didn't know how to. I'm not great at kind of telling myself. I knew I didn't have that skill set, so I engaged people who did to help me with the process. So it means investing money, but if at the end of the day you want your book out there and to come to the awareness of as many people as possible, it sometimes it needs investment, so be prepared for that.
And there's no problem with outsourcing what you need to get the product.
Absolutely.
I mean, Big businesses do that all the time. That's why big businesses employ people, you know, because they realize that, you know, the managing director or the CEO cannot do everything. The CEO has no idea about tax returns or accountancy. So they have to bring in someone and create a whole department that can deal with that. And I think sometimes as small business owners or entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, we need to understand that as well. And as you say, it is an investment, because the reason why we generally start off doing everything is because we haven't got the resources to kind of bring in someone or get a consultant or outsource. But as you said, it's an investment. And if we can invest in that ability to be able to bring in the expertise where we might lack, or knowledge where that we don't have, we need to start doing that. And just as a, I guess this is something that I always say on the show, is that don't let lack of finances stop you from going to the next stage or reaching out. You know, we have so many skills, so many different kind of qualities, attributes that we can share, that we can barter, that we can exchange with one another. Sometimes it's just thinking outside of the box and being like, well, actually, if you can help me with my marketing, perhaps I can, I don't know, help give you a personalized birthday card or whatever it might be with the skills that you've got. You know, we can really, really help one another and just see our businesses flourish if we start looking, if, you know, if we start thinking a little bit more outside the box.
I agree with you completely. Let's be creative about how we tap into help and support resources. Yes,
absolutely.
Okay, we're nearly out of time.
Are we coming to a close, Chris?
We are. So the most important thing is, where can we get your book? Where can we find My Uncle's Wedding? Where can people purchase it?
Uncle Googie's Wedding is available on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. It's available as an ebook and as a paperback. It's getting really great reviews. It's a light read, but it's such a funny one and very educative as well. You'll be laughing the whole way through as you see what our heroine gets through and what she finds out, and get an insight into her unique perspective on things as well. She's quite the character herself. So yeah, it's a great book. You'll learn a few Igbo words in it as well. So yeah. So definitely. Yeah, it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
Have
you been on social media at all?
Yes. I use my African Finest Mums handles. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and also my website as well. Yes.
Okay, so that's African Finest Mums, yes?
African Finest Mums, because we are many.
Many indeed.
Amazing. So I guess this is, thank you so much for coming on. I really, please keep us updated with the part two when it's ready to, when you're ready to announce and it's ready to come out, because we'd love to cover that as well and to let everybody know. Also, I want to give a shout out to all the parents out there. These are the types of books that we should be buying, so that when World Book Day comes around and we're like, oh, I don't know what costume to it's there. We've probably got it in our wardrobes, what we can, you know, dress our children up in. So please buy this book. If it's not for your children, you know, if you've got godchildren, nieces, nephews, neighbours, children, great investment pieces as well, as you said, just for learning about culture and heritage, as well as reading for fun. So
I'd like to say a big Christmas is thank coming you. Up, so a lovely gift for kids and everything.
Yes, and a big thank you to Kiona. Thank you very much for being coming, getting up early this morning and coming on and speaking with us. And we wish you all the best with your future endeavours. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, guys. And we will see you all next week for another another show. I'm sure we'll be bringing you another exciting guest. So catch us next Wednesday, as you do, on Colourful Radio.
Yeah, from DAB Colourful. Yes. Okay. And we will see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
The Business Mix Show. came along at just the right time. I get a cool sensation with you. Sexy Cinderella. It's almost.
No.
Just like child's play too, I'll stick with you to the end. Baby, you and I can be more than friends. Just like child's play too, I'll stick with you to the end.
Stand firm, what you doing, quote? I'm on the corner
free riding with my click in them. Before Atlanta, Mississippi hit the map off of discipline. Disciples at the table thinking labels made of Timberlands. Recycled off the majors, quarantined, I'm in the crib again. Playing daddy, school teacher, in a hooligan. I'm on salary, not married, but I'm rooting me. The queen chairs, so it's chairs, bottles moving in. That's weekdays, long nights, videos all Peruvian. A big dream texturized on a podium. Reflect the vibes, hope you feel what I sow in them. We on books, former crooks, tall castles, no linoleum. There's no church, but I preach on this flow again. The temple is my mental, so the soul is detrimental. When I hit the instrumental with the pen, don't use a pencil. You understand the code, so conversion is eventual. No diversion, I'm essential. How you doing though? Instrumental hit the studio. Truly more than making music, so fan first, stand firm for that freedom quote. Plans work, we immerse with the jury though. Yeah, how you feeling? How you doing though?
Feeling good.
Instrumental hit the studio. Truly more than making music, so fan first, stand firm. What you doing,
huh? The verses with these rappers this hot, and I will place them in these hearses in the back of a box. Got a catalog that stretches like a jack in a box. Underground, now you're legend, the original plot. Stop provoking.